Good morning, everybody. It's just so lovely to be here. I think the last time I was here was August. So this is a real treat, real treat. I texted someone today to see how they were, and they're not very good. So I said I'd do a special smile for her. So here's my smile. And for anyone else who isn't feeling too good today. The reading today is from 1 John 3. Verses 16 to 24. 1 John 3, verses 16 to 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. We thank God for his word. Amen.
And our second reading is taken from John's Gospel. It's chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Wherever you are, whether you are with us here in the building, good morning, lovely to see you. Whether you are watching live on Facebook, fantastic to see you. Whether you are watching on catch-up, fantastic to see you. And we are so, so looking forward to you being back here in the building next week. I can't express how excited I am for that. But can I take this opportunity to say a massive thank you to all of the teams and all of the individuals who have made this happen. It's quite extraordinary what we've learned, isn't it? Yes, the people in the building are very excited.
Yes, we are.
We are excited, yes. But it takes a team. And I thank you for being part of that team who brought us God's word. Now, if you have your Bibles, you will need to open them. I hope you've already got them open to John chapter 10. This is the word we're going to be looking at this morning, though as is the case with any part of Scripture, it's really important that you look at it in context. And chapter 10 follows chapter 9. Wow! Chapter 9 is one of my all-time favorite chapters in the Bible. And Jesus has healed a man who was born blind. And instead of being really excited that Jesus could do this, the Pharisees argue about it. And they argue it ad nauseam, over and over again, why this could have happened, why Jesus couldn't have done it, whether it was right to do it, whether he'd been blind in the first. It's ridiculous, the levels the Pharisees will go to devalue what Jesus has done. The opening words of chapter 10 says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. So Jesus has already made sure that we know who he's talking to in the context of all of this argument. Jesus wants to make the point. You are nitpicking. I am the one who saw the need and cared enough for this man to heal him. So what analogy does Jesus use? A shepherd, something they are very, very familiar with. Now, homework this afternoon. I want you to go and read John 10, 1 to 10, but we're going to concentrate on 11 to 18. But I'll make a few references, but go and get the whole chapter in context. But from 17 onwards to verse 21, Jesus makes four really important statements about his ministry as the good shepherd, not just any shepherd, the good shepherd. One, he dies for the sheep. Two, he knows his sheep. Three, he will bring other sheep into the flock. And four, he will rise from the dead. Now, we know that, but I just want us to unpack that a bit this morning. First of all, he died for the sheep. When Jesus says something once, you need to remember it, yes? When in the space of seven verses he says it five times, you better wake up and pay attention. Five times Jesus says he will lay down his life. In chapter 10, verse 11, 15, 17, and twice in verse 18, I lay down my life. Jesus did not die as a martyr. Jesus was not killed by men. If you think about it, he died as a substitute by willingly laying his life down. There is a big difference between giving your life and laying it down. Now, I know I have the most wonderful husband in the world. I'm really sorry for all these married ladies out there, but I've got him. I know that he would die for me if push came to shove. But I have a feeling that if, God forbid, we had a mad gunman come here and say, I'm going to shoot one of you, which is it going to be, you or John? That John would try and step in front of me and protect me, but at the same time try and fight this guy off, yes? What would it be like if John said, it's okay, choose me and lay down on the floor in front of this madman? We think, you've lost your mind. What are you doing? But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. I lay down. Jesus on the cross did not go like this. He went like this. I'm laying it down. Jesus was never a victim. He was the victor. He had authority to lay it down. And just in case you didn't get it, he repeats it five times. I think they didn't get it at first. So Jesus keeps going on this theme. He said, I'm a good shepherd. I'm not the hired hand. You know, the person who's at the job center who says, have you got a job for the day? And they say, how are you with sheep? All right, give me the money and I'll go and do it. No, 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 no. A good shepherd loves the sheep. Jesus made this very clear distinction that a hired hand, if there's danger or trouble, what does he do? Runs. Abandoning his post and lets the sheep to the mercy of the wolf. A good shepherd would never do that. Why? Because he actually owns these sheep. The whole glorious story of redemption is that by his death, He paid for us. Therefore, he owns us. And that's a good thing. It's not a nasty way. If you own something, you are invested in it. And Jesus died for us so that the sheep belong to him. He loves them. There's a huge difference between love and lust. Lust gets at the expense of others to benefit self. Love gives at the expense of self to benefit others. Jesus gave everything because he loved us. Now, let's talk a minute about sheep. Sheep are actually quite stupid animals. I hate using the phrase stupid. Never did it when I was teaching children because it's a horrible thing to say. But sheep, I'm afraid, are stupid and they really need someone to look after them. They're quite defenseless. They'll just do their own thing. And we know from Psalm 23, a favorite psalm, it describes so graphically how sheep need to be cared for and protected. I don't know how many of you like old hymns. I was brought up on loads and loads of hymns. And there's a lovely one, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace." There's a lovely part in the last verse where it says, "Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it." And I think sometimes we are a bit like sheep. We wander off doing our own thing. We wander even from God every now and again. And we shouldn't do that. You know the story of the lost sheep in Luke 15. It's that heart of God that says, "Come here, come here, come here." You know, a shepherd's crook is just designed to just hook you back every now and again. That's what a good shepherd does. He's died for these wonderful sheep of his. But then he's also said in our second point that he knows his sheep. Now that know, K-N-O-W, is not just an intellectual awareness. It speaks of an intimate relationship between God and his people. How do I know that? Well, first of all, we know that God knows the sheep's names. Sounds ridiculous, but they do. Now, Jesus knew Simon. He even called him by a new name. He said, "I'm going to give you a special name, Simon Peter." He called Zacchaeus down from the tree by name. He called Lazarus from the tomb by name. Sometimes I wonder if he hadn't, how many would have come forward that day. But he called Lazarus by name. When Mary was in the garden following the death of Jesus, she knew her shepherd when she heard his voice call her name, Mary. Instantly recognized it. Now, when it comes to names, my husband, my wonderful husband, do you remember, the best one in all the world? John is not his first name. Now, you'll have to ask him yourself what his first name actually is. I'm not going to tell you. But John is the name I've known him by for 40 plus years. His name is precious to me. I will not hear anyone diss my husband's name. I will protect it. He's precious to me. How much more are our names precious to God? Diane, he knows you by name. Sue, by name. Martin, by name. Now, my name is Pat. My surname is Kennett. Pat Kennett, remember the name. If you searched for Pat Kennett on the internet, it would appear that I have written a book. It is called Better Driving, The Complete Guide to Professional Truck Driving. Now, you haven't got to know me very long to realize that's not me. There are at least two Pat Kennetts in the world. I know nothing about truck driving. That would be my brother, not me. And you need to know me to know, oh, that wouldn't be Pat. God knows me to that level. Oh, that Pat Kennett can't drive trucks. I was I came within a whisker of being given a different name at birth. Can I know what my other name would have been? Myfanwy. Myfanwy. And most people, even in Wales, can't pronounce it. They say Myfanwy. No. Myfanwy. It's quite a popular Welsh name for babies because it literally means my lovely little one. He's a baby. Not so twee as an adult. But everyone, because you know the Welsh, they are notorious for shortening names. I would have spent my entire adult life becoming Muv. Can you imagine that? Muv. No. But my actual name is Pat, which is short for Patricia. If I'm ever called Patricia, I know I'm in big trouble. Nobody ever calls me that unless I'm in trouble. But it comes from the Latin and the Roman for patrician. You know the patrician class in Rome were the nobility. So every now and again, I can claim to be a Patricia. But no, my name is Pat. And when someone who loves you says your name, there is something different about it. Or at least there should be. I mean, my mother could say my brother's name on two octaves and it's only Neil. Neil. But when it's said with love, it's very precious. And the Good Shepherd knows us by name. Now, how you can look across a flock of sheep and know the names of each one, I have no idea. More often than not, they look the same to me. But that is also because a shepherd can distinguish one sheep from another because of their nature. Yes? One of them will be scared of their own shadow. One of them doesn't like going through water. One of them doesn't like going on high places. And a faithful shepherd will consider the needs of the whole flock, not just the individual, and somehow gather them together. When God starts to gather people, when Jesus gathered people, who were the first group that he gathered? Some of the people in the room can talk to me. His disciples. Yes? Now, who have we got? Peter, impulsive, outspoken. Ros spoke to us a few weeks ago about Thomas, yes? Hesitant, doubting. I suppose if Jesus had gone to the equivalent of the Capernaum job center and said, I need a group of 12 men, and they'd said, well, we got a few. There's this one, his CV looks really good. He's organized. Yeah, great head for figures. His name's Judas. Do you want him? Would have been good on paper, wouldn't it? What about if he'd had 12 Judases? Might have been in big trouble. Me, I'd have gone for 12 Andrews. Yeah, people person. Let's go out and do things, yeah? But God, no. There was a glorious mix in God's flock. And that's what the church should look like, a mix of talents, a mix of personalities, a mix of God's gifting, and somehow God forges us together. But because he knows our natures like that, he also knows our needs. Sometimes we don't know our own needs, won't admit to our own needs. Again, we go back to Psalm 23. It is this glorious, poetic composition of how Jesus, as Good Shepherd, meets every individual need. He doesn't say, you fight all my enemies, in Psalm 23. He says, you prepare a table in the presence of mine enemies. He makes them feel so relaxed that even though they may be surrounded by enemies, it's not a problem. You don't have to panic. You don't have to lose your appetite. God's got it in control. We need not fear. If you look at Psalm 23, it starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. and it finishes off all the days of my life. Oh, that we could grasp that. I shall not want all the days of my life. That is what the protection of the shepherd does. We must hurry on. As the shepherd cares for those sheep, they get to know him better. A little further back in chapter 10, it says, his sheep follow him, that's a good shepherd, because they know his voice. How do we know God's voice? Clearly, through his word. The more we read it, the more we hear him, the more we understand that he's speaking to him. Thirdly, this very interesting thing that God, the good shepherd, will bring other sheep into the sheep pen or the fold. Now, who was Jesus talking to? Pharisees. So the focus was on Judaism, and they assumed that God was only interested in the Jews. But there's obviously a much bigger picture going on here. There is another fold. Ephesians 2 tells us that there are Gentiles currently outside the covenant of Israel who are going to be brought in. Now, I understand that at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus said that he concentrated, Matthew 10 tells us, on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his first focus. Even at Pentecost, which we will celebrate in a few weeks' time, Peter was speaking to Jews and to proselytes. Proselytes are people who had become Jews in later life. They converted to Judaism, but they weren't necessarily born as Jews. But it was very clear, God took Peter on one side and then later Paul to make sure that it would not just be a Jewish flock. The message of God encompassed the whole world. So Peter took the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul carried it much further to the far reaches of the Roman Empire. And this is primarily because in AD 70, when the temple was torn down, they had to scatter. And I have a very personal opinion that coronavirus has given us the opportunity to send messages far wider than we would otherwise have done. I mean, I read in our news sheet the other week that people are listening to our 10:30 services in Haiti. What? I would not have thought that possible, but it's happening. And what Jesus is saying in chapter 10 is that there is not a flock in Midgate and another flock in Haiti. We are one and the same flock. All together. God has people all over the world, and he will bring them together. Because Jesus was not going to get caught up. Remember I said in chapter 9, they'd been arguing like crazy over this poor man who had been healed. He was not going to get caught up in an exclusivist approach of the Jewish leaders. This message is far too important to be with one group. He died for a lost world, not just one nation. And his desire is that we as his people reach a lost world with the message of eternal life. We have got to be missional. And that starts outside those front doors, but it goes much, much wider. As I close, Jesus said that the good shepherd will take up his life again. Do you remember I said he laid it down? With the same power that he laid it down, he took it back again. Yes? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father gives the Son gives himself. And then he takes it back up again. Why is that important? It is because everything he said and did whilst on earth, in the way the promises to you and I, would have been null and void had he stayed dead. But because he came back to life, it was God's seal on everything he had done. Which is why in this passage he talks about, yeah, I know my sheep, I've died for them, everything. But I'm also coming back from the dead. Remember, that's going to be really important. When Jesus was on the cross, what was his final word? It is finished. He did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Salvation is finished. Redemption is finished. The job is done. He was only just getting started. It wasn't finished. God had made his seal, and those promises of God were yea and amen. As I close, this past year has been extraordinarily challenging. I think the world has not known a time like it. Many people reflect on how various lockdowns have made them feel very lonely and very isolated. It's even possible that some of them may have felt abandoned. Well, God's word to you this morning is you are not abandoned. He is not a hired hand who will run at the first sign of trouble. He loves you passionately, cares for you enough to die for you. He knows you by your name, by your nature, and your need. He did not just die for you. That may have sounded enough. He laid down his life for you, voluntarily bringing you into the kingdom. His greatest desire is that we have a missional approach to life. We cannot, we dare not be exclusive. Share it with everyone. Everyone. Never overlook the tiniest moment of connection might bring a person to Christ. You never know that what you do or say or how you react could be the final bit in bringing someone to Christ. As we begin to open up again, both here at Meadgate, as a nation, as a world, and I have to say this morning, my heart goes out to India. That is looking ghastly. Pray for India. It's an enormous problem. But we need to reaffirm our desire to be a people of welcome, regardless of a person's nature or need, because it is our joy and responsibility to join with Father in welcoming people into God's incredible fold. Amen. Amen. Amen.